I wanted to talk today about being bent out of shape. Have you ever been bent out of shape? I get bent out of shape a lot. My wife tells me, you know, you get bent out of shape real easy, you know, when things don't go your way. I said, yeah, I know. But that's not the same kind of bent out of shape that I'm talking about. But I am talking about things in life, things that we do. And when we take risk, any kind of risk, knowing that a lifeline is near, ready there for us if we need it, allows us the kind of freedom from our inhibitions, our fears, our worries, and our stress if we take a risk but have a lifeline, if you know what I mean. It's like a big weight lifted from our shoulders when we journey with others and we share things and we encourage one another and we walk this thing called life together. But I think of what most entraps us or weighs us down and keeps us from reaching our full potential in our lives, not due to our inability, but the self-doubt that plagues our spirit. Now, perhaps we've been discouraged in our lives, and maybe you have too. Perhaps we've endured trauma that you will not let go, but continue to saddle you with guilt and shame and grief. And perhaps you might have spent too much time trying to do life alone instead of allowing others to support you and encourage you and travel alongside. Now, I say we and you, but we're really talking about all of us, aren't we? And perhaps our failures have brought us down like rocks tied around our ankles, and we've been flailing in the waters of life, and perhaps we feel we're constantly swimming upstream. You know, but whatever our situation is, I can tell you, it don't have to be that way. Praise be to God. But the scripture for today that I read, Jesus encounters as he was teaching in a local church or a synagogue, is what the scripture says, but it would be like our local church, on the Sabbath, a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. Now, Dr. Luke tells us that she was bent over and unable to stand up straight. Now, whether her ailment was physical, mental, spiritual, maybe a combination of all three, we really don't know. Maybe even was holistic, I don't know. We are human. But once Jesus laid his hands on her, she became transformed. And then Jesus said to her, woman, you are set free. At which time, of course, she began praising God incessantly. Now, this was a place, a synagogue, if you would, in church, and it's where leadership was doing its best to dispel or disperse the crowds of people seeking healing and community. Above all, they wanted Jesus. Well, imagine a leadership that's trying to discourage rather than encourage a faith community. Discourage the support of those who are ailing, downcast, facing debilitating harm in their spirit. The scripture tells us her spirit had been completely crippling her. Now, I don't know how many of you have experienced that level of trauma or discouragement or loneliness or self-doubt in your life. But if you have, you know utterly crippling and debilitating can be, it's rough to be able to bear that kind of burden upon your spirit. Now, I've been through a lot of things, and I'm sure you have too. Judy's been through a lot in her last 3 years battling with cancer. But I think in this passage of Luke, it makes it clear that this woman's ailment was not physical. This was not a full debilitating state. This day and time, we might say, well, she was bent out of shape. Well, not bent out of shape, but bent out of shape by life. But, you know, I love the buts and the if. Jesus healed her. He healed her body, mind, and spirit so that she could stand up straight again with her head held high among all of her neighbors, her family, and her community. And she was completely transformed. her spirit was healed, and that it's just sort of like having ruffled tail feathers fall into place. But, you know, the synagogue leadership, or, you know, the people in the church, the leaders, perhaps they couldn't believe their eyes, or perhaps her restoration within the community was just too hard to handle, or perhaps the chaos of Jesus' healing caused them to be frightened and upset of their status quo. You know, we got a quite nice little quiet church here, Jesus. You know, don't be doing all this healing and stuff, and it's terrible. Well, they react by challenging Jesus, saying he hadn't obeyed the rules. Can you imagine? How pretty that sounds. Well, Jesus hadn't obeyed the rules, and Jesus first to point out that. But the synagogue leaders feared more than the healing of one woman on the Sabbath. Really and truly what they feared was healing of an entire community and the power and the chaos that this could represent. Especially when it meant the rules would be changed and their power had to be overruled by something far greater than them. No longer did they have authority in this synagogue. No longer would order prevail. For God's healing is not about order, is it? But about disorder. Beautiful, disruptive chaos. The kind that changes lives and heals the spirit of the downtrodden. The kind that respects no earthly power and bows to no earthly ruler. For in that moment, God's healing power, the transformation power of Jesus Christ, has usurped all the worldly rule of law, and not one woman, but an entire community was changed and transformed. And that was only the beginning. You see, community is powerful. The strength and the resilience of the human spirit, when surrounded and encouraged by community, it's powerful. And most of all, the presence of our lives in the Spirit of Jesus Christ is supernaturally transformality out of this world powerful. That was one of the things that helped Judy recover, was the church at Bethel and all the other people that helped her and encouraged her and prayed for her. And that's how she was able to come, along with medicines and doctors, but more importantly, how God people helped her through this. And of course, God eventually did the healing. Because Jesus came not to bind us to the rules and order, but to set us free from bindings of shame and guilt and self-doubt, oppression, and many years of feeling like, yeah, we just failed, preacher. You see, the transformation of the Spirit by Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we will never fail. Oh, no. But it does mean we will look at our failures differently, and we will learn to swim once more. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. But this time, we won't swim alone, and Jesus will swim alongside of us. And it makes all the difference. That's the power of the church. For God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him shall never die, but have eternal life. You see, that's the hope and the joy that we have. So, all of us run into challenges. All of us have things that we need to deal with. But I just want to ask a question to all of us. What's weighing you down? What lies heavy upon your spirit, keeping you from being all that you were meant to be? Remember I told that a couple of weeks ago? The army said, be all you can be, and you are in the army. Well, be all you can be if you join the Lord's army. And I pray that you have that in your mind. Then another thing, ask yourself this. Do you want to be set free from your captivity, from this bondage that keeps you from reaching your best potential? Now, I'm not only talking about physical or financially or any of the other kind of things that's in your life that hold us back. But if the answer is yes, you don't want to be held back. If your answer is yes, take a moment and ask Jesus to heal you, truly heal you, and pray that he heals all that has crippled and desecrated your heart and your soul. Now, I want to take a moment and ask you, just because I can't see you, you're not in the church physically, but just take a moment. I want us to just close our eyes and thank God for allowing us to know that we have been set free, or we will be set free if we trust and obey, for there's no other way. You know, some of the laws that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and they were all upset about that. He broke the rules, you know. Well, there is also some spiritual laws that I want to share with you. And I don't know if you ever heard of them, but it's an evangelistic thing, and it's called the four spiritual laws. A lot of the evangelists use this over the years. But the first of the four spiritual laws is this. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And in John 3:16, it tells us, as you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus also told us, he said, I have come that they, us, may have life and have it to the fullness. So the problem for all of us is, what's blocking us from God's love? What's preventing us from having this abundant life? Well, the second four of the spiritual laws is this. Humanity is tainted by sin and therefore separated from God. You know, we did that in the Hurts, Hang-Ups, and Habits series. You know, we live in a broken world. And as a result, we cannot know God's wonderful plan for our lives. Because we do know what Paul said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. Because God created us to have fellowship with him. And when that's broken, man. However, humanity brought sin into the world and therefore separated from God. Talked about this a little bit last week. We have ruined that relationship with God that God intended for us to have. So what's the solution? Well, the third solution is the third thing of the four spiritual laws, and it's this. Jesus Christ is God's only provision for our sin. And through Christ, you can have your sins forgiven and restored in a right relationship with God. It tells us in Romans that God has demonstrated his own love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. It informs us, Scripture, to tell us to know and what we believe in order to be saved. Saved from what, preacher? Saved from eternal damnation. And that's what Christ died for, our sins. And according to the Scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then Jesus himself declared that he is the only way of salvation. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, how can you receive this wonderful gift of salvation? Well, we concentrate on the fourth thing of the four spiritual laws. And we must place our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. In order to receive this gift of salvation and know God's wonderful plan for our lives, we can look at John chapter 1, verse 12, and it describes it. It says this, yet to all who has received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We sing that little song too, that he welcomes us and we are children of the living God. So it's very clear, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved. And then we can be saved by grace alone, through faith alone. Not that we can work our way through it. No, Jesus paid the price, and it is through Christ alone that we can have this gift of eternal life and peace and joy while we live in this world. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, and most of us know, boy, there's a lot of them. But I have overcome the world, Jesus said. So if you follow the words of God, and saying these things, that's why, you know, when I say the word is the way to life, And that is Jesus Christ. He is God manifested in the flesh, and he has shown us the way to life in this world, and more importantly, the way to eternal life. And it's a simple prayer for simple people. But I just want to give you a sample prayer. Now, you can do this yourself. Do it anyway. There is no set way to ask Christ into your life. But this is one that I can share with you that is used a lot, and you probably heard it. But, you know, use your own words. That's what I did when I say, Lord, if you're everything that they say that you are, then I want you to come into my life and be Lord over it. But you can do this little prayer. God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I sinned against you, and I deserve punishment. But I heard that Jesus Christ took the punishment that I deserve so that through faith in him, I can be forgiven. So I put my trust and faith in you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful gift of grace and forgiveness. And more importantly, hallelujah, praise be to God. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, have a blessed day. Come to see us in person sometime if you would.